Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the 17th annual Fighting Bob Fest. Live here at the Barrymore Theater. I want to welcome to the orchestra pit the annual house band of Fighting Bob Fest. Let's give a warm welcome to the Raging Grannies.
Thank you so much. We are the Raging Grannies of Madison. The first song you will hear from us is actually a world premiere. We've never sung it before. And unlike most of our songs, it was not written by a Raging Granny. It was written by local songwriter Peter Leidy, who has given us his blessing to sing it tonight. And it's going out to our soon-to-be former governor.
To go, I'll take the jet, the car's too slow. I hate to think of traveling by car. My day is full, I'm a busy guy. This is why I choose to fly. Kenosha to Racine is pretty far. Flying makes me glad to be alive. I'm leaving on a state plane. A few miles, I'll be on the ground again. Oh, babe, I hate to drive. Milwaukee to Waukesha, or Mosinee to Wausau. 11 miles, I need a jet for that. It costs a lot, who'll pay the bill? Oh, that's right, taxpayers will. Where is all that Foxconn money at? Whining in the press, I've had enough. I dream about the Capitol Square. I'd like to see a runway there. Another by my house in Maple Love. So trust me and stand by me. Tell me that you'll vote for me. Flying makes me glad to be alive. I'm leaving on a state plane. A few miles, I'll be on the ground again. Leaving on a state plane. Driving is so mundane.
Roads are so bad.
Gonna go down. polling place. Down at the polling place, gonna go down and cast my vote. Down at the polling place, ain't gonna suffer fools no more. I ain't gonna suffer fools no more. The laws for rich as well as poor. Clean government we will restore.
Give it up for the Raging Grannies. Oh my God. You guys are amazing. And I don't know why they call you grannies. You look so young and beautiful. What can I say? Speaking of young and beautiful, I'm Danny Chicago. Professional rabble rouser. I'm touring with a group called the Midwest Midterm Progressive Bikeathon that's going to be biking from Madison, Wisconsin, starting tomorrow, all the way to Pittsburgh by November 6th, which is voting day. And Norman is going to tell you more about it a little bit later. And I want to thank Norman for putting this all together, too. So, Norman, thanks. And here's a song that sums up my opinion of the way things are right now, and it's called Let's All Go to Washington and Take Our Country Back. Oh, it's not in tune. I tuned it before the show. That's great. Close enough for the blues. Let's all go to Washington and take our country back. It belongs to the people, not the billionaires and banks. Conservatives and liberals, let's join up all of our ranks. Well, let's all go to Washington and take our country back. Well, we don't have to be brothers, and we don't have to be friends. But there's 99 of us for every one of them. And we all have more in common than they would like us to believe. And if we all stick together, then we'll all get what we need. So let's all go to Washington and take our country back. It belongs to the people, not the billionaires and banks. Conservatives and liberals, let's join up all of our ranks. Well, let's all go to Washington and take our country back. Well, we're tired of the hatred, and we're tired of the lies. We're tired of corporations, corruption, greed, and bribes. And we'll go there by the thousands, and we won't let them put us down. And we ain't gonna leave until we run them out of town. So let's all go to Washington and take our country back. It belongs to the people, not the billionaires and banks. Conservatives and liberals, let's join up all of our ranks. Well, let's all go to Washington and take our country back. One more time. Well, let's all go to Washington and take our country back. It belongs to the people, not the billionaires and banks. Conservatives and liberals, let's join up all of our ranks. Well, let's all go to Washington and take our country back. Let's all go to Washington and take our country back. Our country back. Norman Stockwell.
Thank you. Let's give another big hand for Danny Chicago. And we realized backstage as we were getting ready here that we actually had run into each other in Chicago in years past. It's an amazing project these folks have, the Midwest Midterm Progressive Bikeathon. They're actually literally biking from here to Pennsylvania between now and November 6th. And we were just looking at the map. You can't see this from out there, but it's a long way. And there's a lot of snow right here and right here in November. So they're sturdy folks. The kickoff for the Midwest Progressive Bikeathon is tomorrow at the state capitol right here in Madison, Wisconsin. The Hamilton Street side, there's going to be a rally tomorrow morning, beginning at 10:30 in the morning, and you should check it out. Speaking of tomorrow, Fighting Bob Fest continues after tonight. We've got a picnic at Brittingham Park here in Madison, Wisconsin, tomorrow from 10 to 2. And it's a BYO picnic, so bring your favorite picnic lunch and join us. Brittingham Park is water-free. I actually had a friend go over there and take pictures yesterday morning to make sure, because the water was pretty close to the shelter the last time I looked. But it's open now. And also tomorrow, Saturday, in La Crosse at Cameron Park, the folks from Our Wisconsin Revolution are going to be hosting a Fighting Bob Fest event up there with speakers and food and all kinds of great stuff. And then on Monday in Milwaukee at the Next Act Theater, there's another event. The OWR Milwaukee folks are hosting Josh Fox, the filmmaker who made the movie Gasland, and he's going to be doing a program there on Monday night. I'll be there to introduce him, and I encourage you, if you're headed to Milwaukee, that's the place to be on Monday night. You can get tickets in advance for that through their Facebook page. Well, this is a great pleasure to be here every year with a Fighting Bob Fest kickoff, and we have a special treat that we're going to kick off tonight. There is a brand new piece of public art that is getting built in Madison, Wisconsin very soon, and I'm incredibly privileged and honored to welcome Karen Wolf, the director of Madison City Arts, who's going to tell us about this new progressive piece of public art that is coming to Madison.
Hi, everyone. I'm a bureaucrat, and I can't go anywhere without an easel and a pad of paper with a post on. Let me see if I can get this up for you. I don't even know if you'll be able to see it. Okay, I'll be by the... Here I am. I'm back. I just need a prop. Thank you. I just want to thank all of you and thank the organizers for letting me make this announcement here tonight. It's a one-stop shop with getting the word out to the people that I think would be very thrilled, if you don't already know about this project, to know about it. For several years now, there's been a group of people that have been trying to get a memorial to Mildred Harnick placed somewhere in Wisconsin. Many of you know more about her than I do. I didn't know about her when the project was brought to my attention, but thanks to a wonderful PBS documentary that you could all Google when you go home tonight, I've learned quite a lot about her, and she's become one of my, as her beloved husband would say, guiding stars as I walk through this interesting time we're in. So she was born in Milwaukee in 1902, completed a master's in English literature here at UW-Madison in 1926. And while she was doing that, she met her husband, Arvid Harnick, who was here on a fellowship from Germany. They fell in love, they got engaged, they went back to Berlin, and she finished a PhD before joining him in Berlin, actually. She went to University of Gießen, joined her husband in Berlin, and then Hitler took over, and they began a long commitment to the resistance and worked very hard in that until they were caught, tried. She was given a sentence of 6 years of hard labor, and Hitler wouldn't sign the order, and she's the only American woman ordered executed by Hitler. So September 16th is Mildred Harnick Day, according to the Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction, and we so wanted to get this piece in the ground, and today we were going to dedicate it, but we ran into many obstacles, as all public art projects do. Most of them were human obstacles, but in the end, Mother Nature and the floods, we couldn't get the foundation poured. So we haven't gotten it in the ground yet, and I'd like all of you to be present, or at least pop by after it's in. I'll re-announce when the dedication is finally happening, and we'll get together. It's never a bad time to celebrate the commitment and the life of a stalwart for justice. So whenever it happens, it will be wonderful. I just want to read two quick things. A lot of people have asked me, why Madison? She's from Milwaukee, shouldn't the memorial be there? Why does it belong here? And I can't think of anything that more explains their connection, the Harnick's connection to this place, than the last letter her husband wrote her while he was in prison awaiting to be executed. I've never gotten through reading this out loud without crying, but I'm hoping that the pressure will keep me behaved here. But here you go. My dearly beloved, if I had the strength during the past months to inwardly remain calm and composed, and if I looked calmly and quietly at things to come, I owe this especially to all that which makes me feel connected to the good and beautiful things in this world, and to the emotion inspired by the poet Whitman towards the whole world. As far as people are concerned, it is the ones closest to me, you above all, that embody these two elements for me. In spite of the difficulties, I gladly look back on my life up to now. Light outweighed the darkness, and our marriage was primarily responsible for this. Just last night, I thought for a long time about how many beautiful moments of our marriage, and the longer I thought about them, the more of them I remembered. It was as if I were looking into a star-filled sky in which the number of stars is constantly growing, the more intensely you look into it. Do you remember Picnic Point, where we got engaged? Early in the morning, I sang for joy at the club. And even before that, our first serious conversation at a lunch counter in a restaurant on State Street. This conversation became and remained my guiding star. How often did we put our heads on each other's shoulders during the last 16 years, at night when life had made us tired, either yours on my shoulder or mine on yours, and then everything was good again. I did that in my thoughts during this past week, and I will do it during the coming weeks. Do this also, then one knows that feeling of love flows into each other's world. Our stressful work didn't make life easy for us, and the danger of being crushed wasn't easy, but in spite of that, we remained alive. That was evident in our experience at the Großglockner when we suddenly saw the big elk appear in front of us. Before that, you were like a goddess ascending out of the ocean. You are my heart. You shall always be my heart. My biggest wish is that you are happy when you think of me. When I think of you, I am happy. Many kisses, I embrace you tightly. So I think that having the last letter someone says, invoking the happy memories of a time before the war and before Hitler here in Madison, Wisconsin, shows the power of this place in their development, in their activism, and in their resolve. And I will put this out in the lobby along with the model after I leave tonight, and I hope that any of you who want to get involved contact me and participate as we move forward. Thank you. And I'll grab this.
I'll bring that up. I'll bring it up.
Thank you so much, Karen Wolf, and thank you, Madison City Arts, for supporting this kind of public art and so much other public art around our city. We really are blessed with a lot of public art in the city of Madison. Well, the Progressive magazine about 2 years ago, a little over 2 years ago, moved to 30 West Mifflin above the Veterans Museum. And I was very excited because I remembered the Secretary of State's office on the 9th and 10th floors of that building for so many years. And I used to go in there to get various bits of business done, and I would see Doug La Follette up there in his office. And of course, as you all probably know, Doug La Follette was punished by Scott Walker and put down into the basement of the State Capitol building instead of having that nice office overlooking the square. Because what he did is he was the single most important person in delaying the implementation of Act 10 in March of 2011. And so it's a great pleasure to me to welcome to the stage here at Fighting Bob Fest, named for Fighting Bob La Follette, the last in a long line of progressive La Follettes. Let's give a very warm welcome to Secretary of State Doug La Follette.
Thank you, Norm. Thank you. I hear you, but I can't see with the bright lights, but I'm so glad you're here. I can see the grannies, wonderful people. Well, I come to you tonight as the last Fighting La Follette still standing. And it's such an honor for me to sort of kick off the Fighting Bob event tonight as Fighting La Follette myself. You know, people thought I should retire and not run for re-election. And I thought about it, and I said, no, I'm not gonna let that Walker guy win. I'm gonna run, and this time we're gonna beat him. It's not gonna be easy. It's not gonna be easy. I could talk tonight for, I think Norm's given me an hour and 20 minutes here on the platform. He's ignoring me. But I don't need to talk about the issues, because the fact that you're here, I know you care about the environment, women's rights, voters' rights, the issues of proper taxation of the rich, minimum wage for working people, health care, you know all those issues. And I know them, I could talk about them. But what I'm going to talk about is very basic, pragmatic stuff, like, can we win this election in November? The answer is yes, but it's all about one thing. It's called turnout. I've studied the numbers, and you probably know this. Typically, in the off-presidential year, 500,000 fewer people in Wisconsin vote than in the presidential year. 500,000. And most of those would vote Democratic if we got them to the polls, which that is our challenge. Now, you might think, well, here in Madison, Dane County, we don't need to worry. Our Congressman, Mark Pecan, who's waiting to speak right there, he's going to win. So we don't need to go vote for Mark. But every vote we vote for here in Madison and Dane County will help the statewide candidates. In those counties like where I'm going tomorrow to Washera County, we're going to lose Washera County, but I'm going to go up there and give the Democrats a good rah-rah tomorrow. But we need to carry Dane County by big margins to make up for those counties where we can't win. People often forget about that. And it's so important to get rid of Mr. Walker, to get a good attorney general, and we've got a great candidate, to elect the state treasurer. We have a woman running who's a great candidate, and to make sure Tammy Baldwin gets reelected. They are pulling out the stops. It's estimated that the fascist brothers, I mean Koch brothers, that the fascist brothers will spend $15 to $20 million attacking our great congresswoman. And we have to make sure they don't win. She was elected 6 years ago, presidential year. Now it's non-presidential, so we have to work harder. And if you have spare time, drive south to the 1st District. The 1st District could be a Democratic win, and they need volunteers to knock on doors and find voters in Janesville and Beloit. So spend a weekend down in the 1st District, and maybe we can do something there. So with a lot of effort, we can turn Wisconsin back. You know, Fighting Bob said in one of my favorite quotes is that the supreme issue above all issues is the suppression of the few by the many and the powerful. Well, that's what's happened to this state and this country the last decade now. And Bob La Follette sent me a message last night as I was laying in bed and told me to say, we have to turn that around. He is so tired of seeing his state be dominated by those powerful few and suppressing the rights of the many. I'm going to end with a thought. You know, we're excited, but we have to excite our friends and neighbors and get them excited so they go vote and they get their friends and neighbors to vote. Because as I said, it's all about turnout. A great story in President Obama's first election, when nobody was taking him that seriously, and he was headed down to a little town in Georgia, and he said to his staff, no, we shouldn't do this. No, we promised we'd go there. So they're driving, it's raining. They finally get to this little town, and there's a little restaurant where there are people waiting, and he goes into this restaurant where there's a dozen or so people there to hear candidate Obama speak. And this little woman stands up. She was probably a raging granny. And the raging granny stood up and said, fired up, ready to go, fired up, ready to go. Have you heard that story? You heard that? It's a true story. And Obama went, ah, and she fired up, ready to go. Well, we have to be fired up and ready to go to take back our state and start taking back our nation. Thank you very much. Fighting Mob forever.